Lord, we just give you thanks, Lord, for the way that you're speaking to us this morning. You're encouraging us. You are developing us, Lord. You are helping us to hear what you have to say. And so, Lord, we just pray for Sally, Lord, that you would anoint her word this morning, that, Lord, you give her boldness to preach, that, Lord, you would give us the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, and that, Lord, we will not harden our hearts against you, but that, Lord, we will listen and we will take it in and we will do. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you. Amen. So, morning. And thank you for all your smiles. That really helps, standing here looking out at smiling faces. So, we're continuing our summer series on Psalms. And today we're looking at coming home. Now, when I say coming home, I don't mean coming home from New Day, or work, or shopping, or even that football's coming home, which it didn't. But anyway, what I mean is coming home to God by dwelling in Christ and being secure in the Good Shepherd's care now and into eternity. And I think we've heard a lot about that already this morning, haven't we? It's been amazing. So listen out for echoes of what we've already heard this morning. So I've been greedy and I've chosen two psalms because I couldn't decide between them. So I'm doing Psalm 23 and Psalm 84. Psalm 23, obviously, the Lord's my shepherd, often used at funerals, and also I'll be referring to Psalm 84, which is a beautiful psalm. How lovely is your dwelling place? And it is just full of that joy of being with the Lord in his temple, being with God, in communion with God. And which is now, obviously this is the Old Testament, but it's now made fully possible for us through Christ to be fully with God in his presence now and forever. So it's just a little theme really today, coming home to God. But as I read out the two psalms, please listen out for these recurring themes across both psalms. God's goodness towards us, the stillness and refreshment that he offers us, his strength and protection that he gives us, coming home to God, which is our response to him, now and forever. So I'm going to start with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Absolutely fantastic psalm. And Psalm 84 looks at what this means to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They're ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with blessings. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our sovereign, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor, and no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Amen. So I love these psalms, and I think you do too. They speak so much of God's love and care. And there's so much more to say than the things I'm going to say this morning. We haven't got time, and I'm sure you could add so much more as well from your own study of these psalms. But for now, let's just look at the themes that I've chosen to draw out. And the first one is God's goodness. So Psalm 23 points towards Jesus as the good shepherd, the one who will lay down his life for the sheep. But already here in the Old Testament, before Jesus, there is a real sense of intimacy with the shepherd, trust and tender relationship, a knowledge of the shepherd as being fully God, fully good, bringing goodness to his people. So Psalm 23 verse 6, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. There's that confidence, like we've just been singing, that God is going to show up and give good things. And 84 verse 11, no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And I think, you know, people have always said, oh, God's a killjoy. If you're religious or if you become a Christian, you're going to miss out on all the exciting things. But no good thing does he withhold. He knows what's good for us, and he doesn't hold back. And that's been my experience in my life. Anyway, talking of shepherds, you might know Judith. She's our nearest shepherd in Steeton. Judith lives at the top of Whitley Head in Steeton, and she rescues worn-out sheep and hens. And if you go and see her, I'll tell you where to find her if you want, look out for Derek. Not our lovely Derek here, but Derek the old ram, who's got particularly long legs for some reason. So he's part of her little menagerie. But she's also got these rescued hens, battery hens, who've had a lifetime of exploitation and overproduction of eggs, which is horrible. And they're, you know, worn out on the last legs, but she rescues them. So anyway, they're all unique, these hens. And some of them aren't hens, actually. I've just discovered they're ducks, but anyway. But most of them are hens and produce these eggs. Anyway, she's called them all Gladys because it's easier just to say Gladys, and they all come running for their food. So anyway, they know her voice and they follow her when she's rattling the seeds and food. They know that she's got goodies for them, and if they follow her, they'll lack nothing, even though they've had a lifetime of lacking a lot. So finally, they've found rest with Judith, their shepherd, hen keeper. And our souls need rescuing and rest too. And we know that, don't we? We just know it in our souls. Which brings me to the theme of stillness and refreshment. So 23 verse 2, he leads me beside quiet, still waters. He restores my soul. Not an eddying whirlpool, but still waters. I love that picture. And I've recently learnt that sheep require water to be still in order to drink. They can't drink from running water, moving water. And nor can our souls be refreshed if we don't stop. So for our mind, body and soul to be restored, we have to linger long enough for our frenetic activity to stop, to bend down and slowly drink from the still water. And that reminds me of Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. You could actually try this. You can do that as like a prayer. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. So be still, it's a command. And most of us run most of our lives like a totalitarian regime. That quote is from Pete Gregg. We may burn out or just get overtired and irritable, and we know something isn't right. And finally we get the message, we need to rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. We are our own slave drivers, but he is our soul restorer. But it's easier said than done. And I speak to myself, because I'm not very good at this. But some ideas: turn off your phone, turn off my phone, meditate slowly on a few Bible verses. And I can recommend the app Lectio 365, which you may know of already. And it's a great tool to help with this. Read some poetry, listen to quiet music, pray a simple prayer over and over, waste time looking at the sky, shapes of the clouds in the sky, look at the petals of a daisy and let your heart smile. But stillness is not the same as stagnation. Psalm 84 is full of joy about lingering in God's house, but verse 5 says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. So we're called to stop and rest, but not to get too comfy. The quiet waters mustn't become stagnant pools. And Will and I have got a couple of friends, Mike and Anne, who are in their 90s, and they are amazing and inspiring. They're still expanding their horizons. Mike studies New Testament Greek every morning, which he's done for years, and he's not stopping. And just Anne is just, she's always looking for ways to expand her insights into her faith. And it's just new things, looking for, learning new things. So the Lord calls us out of our comfort zone to a lifetime's journey of discovery. This is sometimes in choppy seas when he leads us out. Yet we can always come back to his safe harbour for our souls to be restored. Which brings us to our next theme, strength and protection. Psalm 84:6. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. And 23:4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You may have read David Watson's famous book, Fear No Evil, which he wrote, he died some time ago, a long time ago, but he wrote when he was dying of cancer. And David Watson had an amazing healing ministry in his Christian life, and yet he himself died of cancer. And he wrote this book. I'm going to be with the Lord. I don't fear evil. I don't fear death. And I don't need to fear what I'm going through now because God is with me. And I think Psalm 23 is all about that. So we're not spared the ups and downs of life, but God's loving presence walking alongside us in them gives us strength and hope. Psalm 84:7, they go from strength to strength. In Psalm 23:4, his rod and staff comfort me. That sounds nice in its sort of soft focus, but this actually means our good shepherd will use his rod to quickly push us away from danger, or he'll use his staff, his shepherd's crook, to grab us around the neck when we need hauling out of a dead-end ditch. I've experienced this hauling out on several occasions, and maybe you have too. And we may question why God is not letting us do something we want to. For example, we don't get the job, we don't get the house, relationship falls apart. But the shepherd can see what the sheep cannot. And in that place of difficulty, we need to learn to trust in his wisdom and his love for us. Easy to say, hard to do. The 23 verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. God throws a banquet for us right in the midst of our difficulties. God sits us down with a table groaning with food. He is not fazed by our problems. And I sometimes think, actually, the strongest, the most powerful testimonies are from people who haven't seen the victory yet, or may never, but are in the storm, they're in the difficulties, they're in the dark valley, they're going through the dark valley right now, but he's with them and they know that. I find that really powerful. And talking of enemies, in the presence of our problems, in the presence of our enemies, it's worth noticing how many psalms talk about having enemies. And we can, of course, spiritualize this, and that's valid. Our personal struggles, the troubles of life, she's her own worst enemy, you know. These are all valid, but actual, real human enemies? Luke 6:26 has often challenged me. Woe to you if all speak well of you. And I'm not very good at challenging people, or I don't like conflict, so I often avoid it not to ruffle feathers. And I just wonder, are there ways that we as Christians should be putting our heads above the parapet in our society? And, you know, what areas of injustice, for example, do we need to speak up about? Just something to think about. So, let's look now at the theme of coming home. The picture of being invited to God's table in his home features many times in the Bible, which I think are summed up by Song of Solomon 2:4, which is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. He brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. So not only are we invited in, but he wants to bless our socks off. He wants to wine and dine us. He loves us. His banner over me is love. He wants us to come home. And this is true whether we've never asked him into our lives in the first place, or whether we've been Christians most of our lives, because in that case, the latter, like sheep wandering off, we often need reminding to come home to the Good Shepherd again. So let's think about the concept of coming home to God. Firstly, what is home? Can you just shout out quickly a few words that you associate with home? Presence, security, rest, love. Thank you. Yeah, a place to be safe, to belong, to rest, to eat and drink, to be yourself, to be accepted, to to be rooted. To be homeless is to be rootless, in danger, hungry, lost. And spiritually, there are countless millions who are rootless, in danger, and lost because they have not yet come home to Christ. But to come home to God, we need to hear him calling us. And I first heard that voice for myself when I was in Sunday school, age 10. And it was a strong, gentle, loving voice. And it was Revelation 3:20. Behold, I'm standing at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me. Which is a wonderful invitation. It's the warm, loving embrace of God, isn't it? So coming home to God means welcoming him into our heart's home. We've got our home, which is our heart. Are we going to open it to God? Because it's an intimate two-way mutuality of sitting down to eat together. He comes into our home, we come into his presence. Will we welcome him into our heart's home? Will we give him a home there? And there is space for all. Jesus says in John 14, in my Father's house there are many rooms. And I love that. A song by Stuart Townend puts it like this. Come all you vagabonds, come all you don't belongs. Winners and losers, come people like me. Come to the feast, there is room at the table. And verse 3 of Psalm 84 says, even the sparrow and the swallow are safe to find homes and build nests. The least and the unexpected, and even me, are all welcome. And I think in heaven we may be surprised, shocked, or indignant to see who else is there. Like the older obedient son who resents his father's grace towards his tearaway brother, as Viv, if you were here last week, Viv was talking about. God's hospitality towards his creatures is extravagant and without prejudice. And hospitality is also fundamental to how he wants us to live too. Offering ourselves and our homes to others, especially those who are overlooked or marginalized. Verse 2 of Psalm 84 says, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. But is that true? Is that true of me? Do I always cry out? Do we long to welcome him in? To come home to him? And I confess that my love is often lukewarm. I keep him standing out in the cold. It's easy to drift away from our first love, to stop reading the Bible, praying or going to church. And I drifted in my faith for several years as a teenager. Remember the rod and staff of Psalm 23? I needed what I call God's rod prod to bring me back to the fold. And other times we just need the reassurance that we are always welcome back home, like the prodigal son or daughter, and to know that he'll throw his arms round us and celebrate. We need to know deep in our souls that he loves us. And recently Stu had a word for me, and he just said, the Lord has such affection for you, Sally. And it's sometimes all we need to know, that he really sees us and cares about us and wants us to come back home to him. So, lastly, now and forever. It's a wonderful feeling to be home again with God, not just in this life, but forevermore. And Psalm 23:6 says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Psalm 84, how lovely is your dwelling place. And the psalmist is so excited to be coming to his spiritual home in the physical house of God. This, of course, was the Old Testament, so it was necessary at that time to go into the temple, God's house, in order to be in his presence. People couldn't fully enter because only the priest could go in once a year to go to the Holy of Holies. But when Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and we now therefore have full access to the Father. So his dwelling place is now and for eternity in our hearts, which is absolutely mind-blowing, isn't it? And when we dwell in God's presence, time stands still and we get a glimpse of eternity. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. And that reminds me of 2 Peter 3:8. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years like a day. As Viv said last week, we need to look at this life through the lens of our eternal life with Jesus, which is better than anything in this world. Now, I'm sure if I went round the room, you'd give me countless examples of entering into the presence of God and catching a glimpse of heaven. And we were talking about this recently in the Connect group, weren't we? And Deborah, I don't think she's here today, but she was describing how one day she was sitting outside and she was just came into the presence of God, and it was like the grass was laughing and the trees were coming alive with praise, which is amazing. And for me, it's times when I've been worshipping with people from all over the world, which has given me a foretaste of the multicultural worship in heaven, with all tribes, nations, languages, tongues, peoples standing before the throne and before the Lamb. That is when I've had a glimpse of heaven here on earth. And I also remember when I was little, my grandma telling me about her aunt on her deathbed, catching a glimpse of heaven just before she died. And Granny said to me, her eyes shone, and she just said, "Oh, those beautiful gates." And I've always remembered that, because I was only little when Granny said that to me. So there's lots to look forward to, isn't there? The 5th century, he said this 1600 years ago, North African Bishop Augustine of Hippo wrote this: "All shall be Amen and Alleluia. We shall rest and we shall see. We shall see and we shall know. We shall know and we shall love. We shall love and we shall praise. Behold our end, which is no end." And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, his last words before he was executed in 1945 by the Nazis, 1 month before the end of the Second World War, were, "This is the end. For me, it is the beginning of life." So in summary, we've journeyed through these two psalms, which point forward to Jesus as our good shepherd to guide us through the ups and downs of life, bringing us stillness, refreshment, strength and protection, calling us to come home into his presence now and forever. He's good. He provides all we need. He provides rest and restoration. He strengthens and protects in trouble and accompanies us on our journey through death into eternity. Pretty mind-blowing. So, in response to all this, I just thought it would be really good if together we could do something a bit different and enter into that rest, enter into that quiet. Let's come home to God now with a time of silent meditation. drinking from the still waters. Are you up for that? Putting aside our anxious thoughts and resting in Him. Coming home. So what I'm going to do, it's just going to be quiet. I'm going to read a poem which was written based on Psalm 23 by Carla Grosch-Miller. And close your eyes if it helps you to meditate on the words. And after this, I'm going to read two prayers written several centuries apart, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the first is from the modern day Lectio 365 app, and the second is by the 15th century canon Thomas a Kempis. Same message, really. Following this, there'll be a short time of continued meditation where we will remain in the presence of God quietly. So, I come home to you now, Lord. I pause to be still, to recenter my scattered senses upon your presence. This I know, my life is in your hands. I have nothing to fear. I stop, breathe, listen. Beneath the whirl of what is a deep down place. You beckon me to tarry there. This is the place where unnamed hungers are fed, the place of clear water, refreshment. My senses stilled, I drink deeply, at home in timeless territory. In peril, I remember, death's dark veil holds no menace. I lean into you. Your eternal presence comforts me. I am held tenderly. In the midst of all that troubles, that threatens and diminishes, you set abundance before me. You lift my head. My vision clears. The blessing cup overflows. This I know. You are my home and my hope, my strength and my solace, and so shall you ever be. Thank you, Father, for welcoming me home into your heart. Love me this week as I welcome you home into my heart. Thank you, Jesus, for standing and knocking at the door of my life. Befriend me again this week as I open the shameful and vulnerable parts of myself to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for brooding over the chaos of my world and within my inner being. Fill me this week as I seek to host you with generous attention and joy. And finally, above all things and in all things, O my soul, rest always in God, for he is the everlasting rest of the saints. Grant, most sweet and loving Jesus, that I may seek my repose in you. For my heart cannot rest or be fully content until, rising above all gifts and every created thing, it rests in you. Amen.